Let's ask Colby Armstrong what he thinks about this. Like, it's difficult, Colby, because, you know, we talked last week about Sid's concussion suffered at the hands of Matt Niskanen. And then you watch last night. Now, you're watching as a hockey fan. You're watching as an analyst. You're watching as Sid's buddy and former line mate. It is tough to watch him pile into the boards last night. But at what points, you know, do we say, oh, too rough of a hit, take him out? Like, I don't know. How do you approach that?
Yeah, I know. I just think, like, everyone's super sensitive. Are we going to take him out after every hit? Like, the way I look at it with him is exactly what you just said. Like, he's smart enough to know his body, to know if he's good to go. He's already sat out a season. Like, he's not going to mess around with it. The doctors aren't going to take the chance to let him play if it's not, if he hasn't passed protocol and taken all the right steps. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
I think uber sensitive to the issue. And like every hit now that we see him get in, he's playing hockey. He's getting guys sacking away. He had three guys slashing and cross-checking him last night at the same time.
Yes.
You take him out and check him for that too.
Yeah, my thing is, he knows his body pretty well. And I know part of this is that the player is always going to want to play. They're going to want to play through the pain. They're going to want to play through the injury. They don't care if they're dinged up. They're thinking about the now. They're thinking about winning another Stanley Cup or whatever. They're not thinking about 20 years from now sitting down with their kids and just having headaches and not being able to go outside because the sun is too bright and you want to protect them from that. I mean, you're in contact with Sid. Like, he knows that. Is that on his mind with the number of concussions he's had?
No, I don't know. I, to be honest, I haven't even really talked to him about it. I saw him after the game, actually, last game. Talked to him post-game last night. Totally fine. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, not one thing came up about that incident or how he's feeling. And then Twitter's going chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nuts. So it's, it's a hot button topic. I mean, I played. I mean, he has guys all over him, but I was way more reckless than him and suffered concussions. And through all that, through sitting out 2.5 months, feeling awful, I didn't think like, oh man, when I'm 60, I'm not going to be able to see. What we know now compared to what we even knew then is so much different. And the rehab is so much different. And you're finding out more and more science behind it, and it's still like a lot of question marks. So I mean, who knows, but you're playing hockey, it's a physical sport. He's gonna get bumped.
He's playing hockey. Last night was an unfortunate kind of violent collision. We're watching the replay even right now in the studio, and like, listen, he piles in hard, but he doesn't crush his head on the boards. He doesn't get knocked unconscious. He doesn't, you know, fall over when he gets up. And we've all seen that ugly scene before. It was a real physical, unfortunate play. And none of us want to see that because we want him to be fully healthy. But he's not going to skate around the rest of his career unimpeded. We're going to have to get over this.
Yeah, he went in pretty hard for sure. But he did a good job of kind of curling his head down and getting his arm up to protect himself. And you know what? He went in with two other guys with him, and no one's complaining to check those guys. So, he looked worse, but it was still a pretty big collision with all of them kind of piling in there. And, it's hockey, and he got up, and if it was bad, he got checked after the period, too. They checked him and cleared him. So, I mean, it's just uber sensitive and overreaction to it sometimes, but I understand how people worry about it.
Yeah, and
I totally get it. But just relax.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, when I saw the play, I thought, oh, yikes, he could separate his shoulder there. I wasn't thinking, oh, his children. Like, that's not how my brain works. Right? I mean, I'm half joking, but it's serious. Colby Armstrong joins us. NHL on Sportsnet. All right, so the Caps kind of own the Pens. The Pens kind of own the Caps. We've known this for a while. They've knocked off the Alexander Ovechkin led team twice, including in Game 7 before, and in Game 6 last year.
Do you feel the tide shifting a little bit? They force Game 7. This is as far, Game 7, second round, this is as far as the Ovechkin-led Capitals have gone. Do you feel the sands are shifting a little bit?
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to say. Like, the Penguins have been pretty opportunistic. Marc-Andre Fleury's played really well. You knew this was going to be a super difficult series. I mean, this was a series of the playoffs, you know, these two teams meeting each other. Caps have carried much of the possession, shots on goal, hits. I mean, you could go through it. And here we are in a Game 7. It's hard for me to look at last game, too, and kind of, like, make it, like, go, oh, what's the difference? Because the Pens were so bad.
Yeah.
The Caps were good, but the Pens were so bad. They couldn't even complete a 10-foot pass. They couldn't even get shots on net. Like, they couldn't play hockey. Like, I was like, what happened today? Did they skip their pregame naps, or, you know, there was nothing in sync whatsoever about their game. They switched up their lines. Could that have been it? Now I see today they switched back to some other line combinations, so we'll see how they react in Game 7. But, man, it's Game 7. Like, everything kind of just goes out the window in this situation. It's kind of just, you know, you hope you have your best, you want your best, but also you got to maybe have a little luck and get a bounce, or something's going to happen. You know, it's a Game 7 game, and it's been left for chance. Two good teams. Winner takes all.
Yeah, and the Capitals have been waiting to get that good bounce go their way for the last decade or so, and it hasn't happened yet. Where is Alex Ovechkin on the scale of importance for this Capitals team? Because it feels like, you know what? It's nice if he scores, and he had that big goal in Game 5, but, you know, he's kind of down the pecking order a little bit for this team now.
Yeah, you know, they put him on a third line with Lars Eller and Tom Wilson. I don't think that's a terrible move by the Caps, by Trotz, to do that. I think that line, to me, through this series, has probably been their best line, just with being unable to score, but creating chances, creating havoc, physical, around the net, puck possession, and you put a guy like him down there, and boom, you have a guy that can put the puck in the net. You have a legit goal scorer that can do that. So, I don't know. You talk about pecking order. I just look at this team, and I've been saying through the first four games, or you need to find, you need to change your lines up. You need to balance this lineup out a bit with some of these other guys, and get some of these workhorses in with some of these other skill guys to kind of balance their attack. And they found lightning in a bottle the last few games with that switch.
It is funny how it works, right? It's always been Sid versus Ovi, and that's been the narrative, and it's really the lazy narrative, because like Ben said, you know, who do you really need to come up big for the Caps in Game 7? Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie. Yeah. You go down the list, and Ovi is maybe the fifth or sixth guy that guy has to be good. Yeah, Ovi might score a big goal one time around the power play, but he's not that straw anymore. Maybe he's the emotional leader in the dressing room. I don't know. I'm not in there.
Yeah, I totally. Like, I saw like last night, and like I said, the Penguins were so bad. It's hard to say, but Kuznetsov just had the puck on a string. He was just weaving through traffic, took the puck out of the offensive zone at one point on a delayed penalty, just ultimate confidence, just dragged it all the way back and then whipped back through. Looked like he was playing beer league with my buddies. And he's a guy up the middle that can really be a difference if he's engaged and involved and can be that guy. And he's starting to emerge right now in the playoffs as that guy. And I think we see Ovi obviously move to the third line, but Ovi has a tough time of kind of marrying his goal scoring, I think, with his physical play. He can either like run around and be that guy, or he just stands in the spot and takes shots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can he have a game next game and be that guy? Can he elevate his game? That's what we're waiting for. Like, Ovi to elevate and be like that Sidney Crosby thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen it from him in the playoffs, but he's got Game 7, man. This is where, you know, little Walker, you know, he's in his little jeans, his little Akita lockup jeans back home playing street hockey.
Game 7.
And are you going to say I'm Alex Ovechkin, or are you going to say, hey, I'm Evgeny Kuznetsov?
He's going to do the Birdman.
What are you talking about?
Is he playing road hockey in skinny jeans?
He's wearing Aikido lockups. Remember those?
No.
Oh, you guys are painful.
I remember, I'm trying to think of cheap jeans growing up. I remember 725s and Bugle Boys.
Yeah.
Bugle Boys, yeah. Warehouse One. Remember those?
Like Giant bones. Tiger.
And who plays road hockey in jeans?
Go to Byway, get some jeans.
Colby Armstrong joins us. By the way, I don't know if we're not road hockey, but Ben Ennis and I both participated in the Baycrest Scotiabank Pro-Am over the weekend. We played
killed it, Colby.
Three rec hockey games.
Oh, God, I'm glad you brought this up. Was this the video that you posted of Ben?
Yeah, man.
All right, so let me recount. So we're game one, and Ben was a little, not nervous, but he hadn't skated in a while. And so he was very excited because he was asking me if people use, you know, one-piece sticks or two-piece sticks. And I was like, what are you talking about? Just go.
Turns out they don't sell two-piece sticks anymore.
Yeah, they're not going to blade for your shaft anymore. Jeez. Yeah. And he was very excited. He woke up Friday morning. He texted me. He's like, I got my new stick from Sport Check or wherever he went. Yeah. And so I showed our first bucks. Game was at 1. And I rolled into the rink at about noon to go. I was going to go put my stuff in the dressing room and go get a coffee and watch some of the other games or whatever. Because, like, realistically, how long do you need to dress? 15 minutes?
Yeah, like 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's go taking your time. So I get in there an hour before the game, and I walk into the one rink, and I see this guy skating around in full gear on a fresh set of ice by himself. And I said,
hair skate. Got to have a hair skate.
I said, who is that? And it's Ennis an hour before puck drop taking his own full gear warm up.
No lid, though. Got to get the hair skate going.
And for a guy that hasn't skated in 5 years, no lid, which is incredibly dangerous.
You know what's hilarious? Like, you bust him on the video and kind of give like a. On your Twitter, you kind of give like a play-by-play of like, what's this guy doing type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's just got the million-dollar smile wheeling around, hair flowing. Like, he's just like, he doesn't know what you're saying. He's just loving
it. No, I couldn't hear him.
What's this donkey doing?
And I did not choose 87, by the way. I need to reiterate that. That was not my choice. I'm an Owen Nolan number 11 guy, but I was foisted with number 87.
How are you forced with any number? You were the first one there.
Well, I mean, our team captain wanted 11, so I had to defer to Dan Gibbons.
So out of the other 20 jerseys, you took 87.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, to be fair, they gave me Alexei Morozov's 95, so I can't really talk either. Colby Armstrong joins us. All right, One more rec hockey note, you got to weigh in, and I know which way you're going to go on this, but there was a big controversy. It's a big controversy because one of the players who is a Sportsnet personality, we'll call him G. Brady. No, that's too obvious. Greg B.
Yeah.
We played two rec hockey games on Friday. He did not shower after either of them. And says that's acceptable and okay. And we said no, it's not. But we've been arguing about this, and I need an expert to weigh in.
Yeah, no, that's unacceptable. That is an unacceptable move to play. He played two games, and like one time he was like, oh, I got to run quick, or was like, I don't understand how you don't shower when you leave the barn.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no excuse.
Okay. I don't know.
There's no explanation.
Well,
so
he said, I didn't know there'd be showers.
Oh, where's he from?
Yeah, I don't know.
He says he grew up in a culture with no rink showers, which isn't entirely a lie, mm-hmm. obviously. Somebody said they didn't know there'd be showers, but there were showers. So what? He said, but I didn't have a towel. And I said, it doesn't matter. You air dry. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you air dry for sure. Like, you know what? This is going to sound nuts, but even if you don't have a towel, you have to borrow a buddy's towel. And
yeah.
Like, one guy uses the one side, and you just make sure you use the other, right? Like,
sure.
That's hockey guy style.
At the same time, yeah. No, I get it. Share a towel. Get in there, nice and cozy.
Yeah, I don't know which way to go.
You got
to
get her done.
All right, so Wednesday is going to be awesome. Wednesday, the first game sevens of the postseason, back-to-back. Is it risky betting against Sid? And with the ups and downs, what do you see happening between the Oilers and Ducks?
I don't even know. Like, literally, do you guys know? Do you guys know what to think right now?
No idea.
Like, I'm supposed to be a professional, I guess, and no? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. Like, okay, the Caps feel confident, I would think, but the Penguins got, like, their face absolutely punched in last game? Will they be fired up and ready to pounce next game? And a team that knows how to get it done in Washington.
So what do you know? What do you know to be true?
Like the Oilers are firing the Ducks. Like what's happening?
That should be your take. What's happening?
You know how when you go to make a tweet, it says what is happening. Just tweet that.
Yeah, just tweet that.
Well, what do you know to be true? Like, if there's caps and pens, I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to come out hard in terms of teams. But I do know this. What is that? Is it Sid's going to show up? Is it, you know, Malkin's at his best in big game? I don't know. What is it?
I do know this. In watching a lot of Penguins games, not as much Capitals, but knowing the Capitals are good. I do know this, though. Of watching all the Pens games on their run to the Stanley Cup championship, a team that I second-guessed last year up and down, they're not going to be physical enough against these guys, they're not going to be able to do this. They did it this year through injuries and everything. Their guys have got it done. They have guys that have it built in them to kind of get it done in these situations. And then I say, oh my, they have Williams on the Capitals. What am I talking about? But I just look at what the Penguins have, what they've been able to do. And a team that has just can find ways to win, even through this series, found ways to win games. And I don't know if I can look past that.
Good stuff, Colby. Good chatting with you. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy game 7 on Tuesday or on Wednesday. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good talking to you guys again. Ennis, work on the old hair flow skates. Come on, bud.
Good flow. The flow doesn't need work.
Yeah, the flow was great, to be fair. Thanks, Colby.